Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. Today I am sharing another amazing guest. Oh my gosh, this so in awe of the amazing people I am able to share with you and so grateful. Let me tell you about today's guest. I have with us today Gail Minogue. She is a published authority in the symbolic relationship of numbers to our lives. With solid experience as a commodities broker since 1987, and she has a history of offering visionary viewpoints on world events. She combines many disciplines to deliver wise perspectives coupled with practical understanding of trends and events, past, present, and future. I love it. I love everything about this. Gail, I am so excited. First off, I'd like to say welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. This is a pleasure. I love to do this.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And I love that you use sacred geometry, hermetic laws. All this is so fascinating. I'm really excited to hear your information and sharing with us. I would like to begin the show with a question in regards to sacred geometry, numbers, and the ancient cycles. How did you get started in all of that?
Well, many years ago, actually, I was being transferred to Houston, Texas to open an office. This was the old Sprint, you know, it was telecommunications, and I was totally not looking into anything esoteric, philosophy, religion, or mystical anything. And I literally, you know, my book was the Wall Street Journal and all that. But at the time, I had a visitor one night in my house and in Texas, and it was what I would call an otherworldly figure, and it was really instructing me to study Pythagoras and Zen. And I'm like, what is, you know, I had no idea what these two were and why together. And there was no book called Pythagoras and Zen. And I thought, you know, I was corrected right and left. So then I was lucky enough to discover a man who had moved there from New York. He was in the newspaper and he worked with numbers. So I called him and that's when I discovered that numerology was connected to sacred geometry and that Pythagoras was the early teacher of this in Crotona, and that was about 600 and something BC, but the information is ancient, who knows how long. But that's how I began, and I just started studying this then, and that's why I've continued with it ever since. And the more you know you don't know. And so it's been fascinating because there is such an order of everything, even a chaos is complete order. And what we find out is when I worked in the trading systems, the computer trading systems, we had a system literally called the chaos theory. And you traded in it because there's a perfect order in it. So what looks like random events or random acts of kindness or not kindness or how this occurs, we're all tied to the heavens and there's an order to it. There's a mathematical order. And we're all familiar with pi or the Fibonacci numbers, you know, it's all part of this grand scheme. So we have trees that reach a certain height and that's it. We have a structure and we have limits and all that kind of stuff. So I look at that and I look at see how people have programmed their lives according to literally the numbers in their lives. And that is always hidden in the name and in the date of birth and in the address on your house and in the license plate on your car, or the address for your office, or the name of your state, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is numbers.
Oh, this is fascinating, Gail. Oh, my gosh. I love this. So now you mentioned date of birth. How does your name and date of birth affect your entire life?
Well, you create a blueprint prior to coming in here and during a reincarnation period. You create this before birth. You give a certain name to your parents to name you or to whoever is your guardian to name you at birth so that you're registered with this blueprint. So you work with this all your life, and the date that you come in, you're literally magnetized by the planetary alignment at that moment in time you take your first breath here. So you're tied always to the heavens, the constellations, etc. And you have a blueprint, timing and path or road you will be on is in your date of birth, the blueprint of your destiny, your issues, the challenges, talents, personality, soul, all that's in the name.
But so all this is preset and it's in the name, but we're not the ones that give us our name.
We give it to our parents to, we impress it upon their subconscious to give to us.
Wow.
So they name us. For instance, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a private session for a client, and it's basically to name their baby. They've chosen three names. They want to know about these names. Now, I will tell you that as much as they want to know, they're going to choose the one, even though I'll tell them a great deal of information about the child, that if they carry that name, they will choose the one that the child has already chosen.
Oh, my gosh.
And so even if you don't like your name, it's perfectly normal. A lot of people don't like their names. That's fine. You don't have to use that name, but it's already there. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's like you step into a time zone, and you're here. You're not out of it. You're in it. You can call yourself whatever you like in it. So if you say your name is Beatrice and you don't want Beatrice, and so you could call yourself Bobby or what have you, it's fine, but you never lose Beatrice.
Mm-hmm. So do we then also pre-choose our date of birth?
Yes. Even if you're premature or late or whatever, yes.
Because, yeah, that just... You know, I had to think about that because I was so premature. I was not supposed to survive the day.
Right.
I was basically a miracle baby, just a couple pounds, and was not supposed to survive.
Right. And that's the story. But you were born right on time.
Wow.
And you have a situation where at the moment you take your first breath, you're magnetized by that planetary alignment that you said you wanted to work with. So, for instance, your sun is in Aquarius, okay, at the moment of your birth, and the moon is in Scorpio at the moment of your birth, then you have that magnification from that at that instant, and you will carry that, and you will operate with these planetary alignments within your chart. So the structure is all the numbers and the name and everything. The rooms inside the structure, or say the house, the rooms inside or the astrological aspects that come from being tied to the planets. And it all fits. It all fits together. What you want to do is to make sure you know you have one, number one. Learn what it is early so we can help you. Parents should always help and guide their children with this information and understand their own timing in their lives, because everything is timing. We have personal years all the time. They, you know, each one... Like, this is a personal 8-year for me. It's a planetary 9-year for the planet. But for me in particular, it's a personal 8-year. So the things that I will do or not do in an 8-year.
This is
and everybody
so
has a personal year.
Yes.
Pardon?
So this is so fascinating, Gail. So if I wanted to know more about that magnification from the planets that I chose, that I received when I was born, how would a person go about doing that, getting that information?
Well, they need to, first of all, they need to get their blueprint done. You know, that's one of the things that I do for people. They come to me, like this gentleman who just came to me from Sweden this morning. I did a session in Sweden and went over his entire blueprint and explained it to him. And, you know, it was amazing stuff, because he really needed this help, because he's a businessman. He really needed to know everything is timing. And also, you need to know what's your weakness, what's your wound that you're carrying in from prior lives, what's going to upset the apple cart that you're not paying attention to. And that's very obvious. And so you need to know what are these astrological aspects that fit inside this blueprint. So you would work with someone like me. You might work with an astrologer to get one part of it. But you have to know the structure to begin with. And that's from the name and date of birth.
Oh, that is fantastic. And how wonderful that we can learn that and research that. I am so going to set up a session with you. This is really exciting. This is fascinating. You must have a lot of fun with this.
Well, it's been a responsibility. I mean, it was not something I went around the block to find, you know. Mm-hmm. It just came to me, and then it was a lot of studying work. And the more you know, first off, when you first learn this, you want to try it out on everybody. And then you finally get smart and sit down, and you finally say, oh, my God, there's so much I don't know. And then you have to be very careful that you don't tell somebody something. It could really hurt them or do damage or their psyche. But you get to be very proficient in looking at a name. I don't go anywhere now. I can't help it. I look at everything like the building I'm going into or the house I'm going into or the house I'm going to buy. Or, you know, and it's everything.
Yes.
It becomes, I'll say, you know, I'll find out, well, this person has a lot of, I know they have a lot of fours or they have a lot of seven, because you can feel the energy of the numbers themselves. Every number has a lot of different energy in it. And if I even use the word, like the word one, like the number one, it actually has four sounds in it. So behind all these numbers are sounds. So sounds move constantly, and they move the heavens, and they move the planetary system. Sound, you know, they'll tell you in the Bible, in the biblical expression, they will say that in the beginning there was the word. But they're really saying in the beginning was their sound, and then sound was made into form. So you do need to be careful what you say.
Yeah. Oh,
and you do need to be careful of your handling your emotions well.
Mm-hmm. And we need to pay attention to then numbers such as house numbers, dates of incorporation, city, state.
Yes. Cities, like if you want to move to a city, well, you should know about that city. Is that city really going to benefit you? And are you moving at the right time? Is this a good year to move, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
If you move at the wrong time, it's not going to work for you. You're going to have to extra work, or you'll move again.
Yeah, so give me an example of a city. So how do you break that down? By the letters in the name of the city?
You would, number one, look at the date of incorporation of a city.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Los Angeles, where I am, is born on a 4-day. And it has a strong Virgo. It's a Virgo city. So even though it belies the fact that, you know, it's easygoing. It's a very hardworking city. A lot of people have two jobs here. I mean, it's a city that works, you know. And if I took Chicago, it has an 8 life path from its date of birth. It was in 1800s. I can't remember the date of it, but it ends up being an 8 life path. So that's a city that likes bigness. Big buildings, big trading things going on there, big money, and big, and business. So they even call it the city of big shoulders. And it's born on a 4-day. It's a city that works.
Yes.
So the thing about, if you look at America, it's born on a 4-day. July 4, 1776, it's a country that works. So this place works. And even when we go to workshops or we work out or we love that we get 2 weeks a year, it's perfectly fine. Because even if we're on vacation, we're working. And we are a working country. But the life path from the date of birth completely, July 4, 1776, is actually a number 5. So the United States loves freedom and change and is a catalyst for the world changes. That's its job.
Oh.
And the job of California is tremendous amount of, so the 5 life path as well, so it's a catalyst of change for the United States.
Wow, oh, this is so fascinating. I am just loving this. I absolutely am. Oh, my gosh.
The more you know, the more you want to know, and then the more you need to know, and then the more you want to know, and it goes on.
I love it. I love it. Well, Gail, we are going to pop out for a moment.
Sure.
Everyone, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. Gail and I will be right back. Thank you.
Sure.
everyone. This is Paula Vail, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BVS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here. Today I am chatting with Gail Minogue. She is a published authority in the symbolic relationship of numbers to our lives. Oh my gosh, the fantastic information we are getting today. This is just a great show, and it's an eye-opener. So let's jump right back in, Gail. I am just loving this. You know, you've shared so much about numbers already. I do also want to ask, how do the numbers relate to what is going on with the world right now? I bet so many people are thinking that question as we speak.
Yeah, well, it does have a lot. And there's a lot, what I call cycles within cycles. So we are actually in a big 2400-year change of what we call change of the ages. And whenever there's change of the ages, there's turmoil, there's tension, there's complete destruction of old structures. It's like two tectonic plates bumping up against the old age that's dying and the new age that's in the birthing and becoming. So you have right now poised on the edge of where that fault line is. So it's like, whoa, it's like the world's on fire. And this period really started at the birthing of the United States in the 18th century. And so around 1760, you begin to see the beginnings of the birthing of the United States. And then when it was birthed, it ushered in this new age of Aquarius. So it's been gradually building for the last couple hundred years, and we're now really pretty much in the age of Aquarius, and we're letting the age of Pisces, the old age of Pisces, die. So things that are related to the old age of Pisces, which was what we call a water element period, and that was another 2,400 years, those elements are dying as well. So what you see are religions. Religions came up in the age of Pisces. You have the rabbinical order, you have the Islamic order, the Christianity, and various other religions that popped up during that period. These are the ones that are dying out, part of the death of the age. So what is left is what was learned from that age, and that moves forward into the Aquarian age, which was about compassion and understanding how to handle yourself emotionally. Because the period that preceded today was a very, what we'll call, emotional period. It was about sacrifice, guilt, okay? Groupthink, which was more like collectiveness, where we had Gregorian chants versus jazz. Everyone sang in order, and you had the teaching tool was fear. So that was what kept the natives in line, was fear. So you had this top-down order, very patriarchal, top-down order, the king, the pope, etc., or whatever you wanted. So this structure is dying out. So you're seeing the remnants of it dying. You have a Middle Eastern on fire as we begin to weaken the religions, weaken the matriarchal, I mean the patriarchal leadership. You have a the beginning of the Enlightenment period, which is what part of the Aquarian age, which is an air sign, which is all about the mind and advancement, the brain, the mind, all of that, and enlightenment. So that's what this age is about. Many, many, many miraculous type of discoveries have taken place, will continue, and it will advance even faster. So oil was a part of the old Piscean age. Again, it's a liquid period. Anything that had to do with that period, anything under the ground, because it's considered under the ground, the Pisces period, deep emotional stuff, that's also dying out. So oil is dying out. And you have all these events that have to do with underground, water underground, trying to get water from underground. So a lot of the problems with climate change all have to do with the ending of the Piscean age.
Wow. So it's a good thing, this shift, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very good thing.
Yes.
It's a very good thing. And then when we cross into the period of the year 2000, the year 2000 ushered in the age, or not what we call age, the cycle of the feminine. So the feminine energy has been really rising since 2000, and you will see great advances going forward where she begins to really claim the power for the next 1,000 years. And we're only 16 years into it, but by 2024, she really is revved up. That's in 8 years. You will see a huge rise in female leadership around the world. And it will, this power period of just right in your face female leadership will last till 2044 and continue on out. But the power, the real push is 2024 to 2044. And that period of time is now being prepped. So you see women starting to prep out a lot more in society. You see more cases in the news about harassment or this or that or women's rights or blah, blah, blah. All of that going on as she rises.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fear, perhaps the older male generations with the marginalization of the male. And it isn't to replace the male, but it's to integrate the female power, get used to it. So a lot of people are having a lot of problems because this is a different energy for them to handle.
And so much is happening in the U.S. and with the politics.
Yes. And so you have this female representation by Hillary Clinton, which she represents the bridge of the masculine and the feminine. And so she's a perfect person to do the bridging because she has, you know, some of the masculine hawk period in her and then the feminine in her. So she can bridge it through this period. And again, someone has to go do this. You know, I wouldn't want the job. Someone has to go do it because of this bridging necessary. So even if she wasn't elected, she's done what she was supposed to do, which to begin to usher this in. And also, as you see, there's 80 million millennials that are very, very different than the standard that's out there now running the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very different leadership is coming down the road. The Donald Trumps of the world is a dying breed. But his job was really about breaking up the Republican Party rather than being the president. Very different role. So I don't think he really wants it. I think he definitely wants to break up the old order of the Republican Party. And he's doing that, you know, really turning it on its head.
Yep.
So even though they appear to be one thing, behind them is a totally different set of game rules going on with these candidates of the bigger purpose of why they're doing this.
Yeah, there's so much happening in the U.S. And the U.S. is, you know, it's a great world leader. Do the numbers have anything to do with that?
One of the things that's going on is from the I Ching. The I Ching has periods of time based on the feng shui of what we call the Jupiter period. The Jupiter period is a period that occurs every 20 years, but it's 20 years of preparation, so it's every 40 years. And we right now under the Ken period, K-E-N, the Ken period will last till 2024. It had 20 years of preparation and 20 years of existence, We're actually in the existence phase of this Ken period. Now, this is all young male, so young males are running the show around the world. And you have them here, they have gamers, they have techies, they have gang bangers, they have terrorists. So young men are running the show or directing what we call for the good, the bad, and the ugly. The focus is on the younger male. That's all going to shift. That's all going to shift. It's hard to see it now, but it's all going to shift. Just give it 7.5 years and you will see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the female will replace it. Now, this cycle is also upsetting what we call things will go to the extreme in this period. I mean, just like beheadings and skinning alive and really the awfulness. It almost has to stop everything dead in its track. Even the things that Donald Trump says will almost stop you in your tracks.
Yes.
That it can't believe somebody said that. You can't believe somebody did that. It's the, I call it the awfulness period, because the pen period is very, very pure. So anything that's awful has to come up to the extreme to bring it back to purity, which it will do, but not till we get through the next 7.5 years. That's going to take that amount of time to get this done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So these shocking political conventions and the things that's being said is really part of the plan.
You have another thing that's shocking are the donors who really contribute to these candidates that run the show. And whether it's Congress, the presidents, they run the show. So that's another shocking thing that will also be replaced, but it's going to take about 7.5 to 8 years.
Wow. So that really tells us that the next president, the next leaders in the U.S. and around the world are going to be a big part of this shift?
Well, they are shifting characters in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not what we want. We're not going to have the candidate we want until 2024.
Wow.
These are temporary figures to transition to make these changes. Mm. They're not what we want. They're part of the old, and they're part of the breakdown.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating.
So we're kind of like sitting here frustrated. But the United States, because of its own chart, its own birth plan, has to go through a revisiting of the American Revolution. So America is transiting back to the period prior to the American Revolution. We'll go through a very revolutionary period of the next few years before the cycle's over. So what you're seeing is America is caught with its pants down. It has to review what it's been doing for the last 240 years. What has it created? What does it have to stop doing? Where has it gone off the rails from what it was intended?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going through. And it has to be done in front of the world to see. So everything is, you know, all about almost a revolution, even though it's not with guns.
Yes. Yes.
And the oppressors are really the corporations and the government versus King George. It's not King George this time.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
But it's a necessary cycle. If we didn't revisit this, we'd just go completely to hell. You know, I mean, we have to revisit what we set out to do.
Yes. So
and we won't have to revisit this again for another 240 years once we get through it.
200 years. So what was that original higher purpose for the founding
of the higher purpose was to help the world make its progress and change and to teach others how to assimilate and to become a land of free, shall we say, you know, where you had an enlightened country and enlightened people. So our job was to assimilate well and then export that out to other parts of the world.
Yes, yes.
And we've gotten inbred and we lost our way.
Oh, fascinating, fascinating, Gail. We do have to pop out for another break, everyone, but we will be right back. Thank you. Thank you, Gail.
You're welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're just popping in, I am here today with Gail Minogue. She is sharing so much great information. I'm just ready to jump back in, Gail. This is so fascinating. You know, the numbers, sharing the, you know, the what's going on with the planets, the shift we're in. I find it so fascinating. And I just have to bring up, you know, you mentioned the feminine kind of making a shift, and here we have a female running for the office of president. We have women becoming more empowered and rising in power. So what do you see happening in the next 10 or 20 years with this awesome trend?
Well, I think that we're going to see more and more women replace male leadership. And right now, women are just even learning how to do leadership. There's a lot of makeup and grooming that needs to be done for women. Even though we've seen some success in corporate structures, we have poor representation in Congress. Only 20% are women. And you don't see many women grooming for any political office. And there's reasons for that. But that has to stop, too. And women have to learn how to not be perfect and just go out. Yeah, men don't even think twice. They're so imperfect in many ways. We had this last primary with Scott Walker, who doesn't even have a college degree at all, and he ran for president. He's governor of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't stop someone who just wants to do it to go out and run if they're male. But females feel they need to be perfect and no more, and so this prevents them from really succeeding. So all of this is something that's going to really be hatched over the next 8 years, because it takes time to groom for office as well. And so that's one thing. You're going to see much more of that, and you're going to see, as I said, not the people you really want to lead the country as far as presidential until 2024, but we're going to keep going in that direction of female leadership. And, again, the settling down of the terrorism stuff, but that's going to take several years as that dies out. As a young male dies out, meaning the trend of the young male, the focal point being the young male, that will also die out, along with a lot of hype that goes on, say, in Silicon Valley with the tech products and, you know, what's the greatest, latest gimmick. Again, it's very young male driven, games, video games, gamers, and stuff like that. So that's going to change, but it's you're going to see coming up in the year 2020s, you'll start to see some of the changes you'll want, which will be constitutional changes, but they're not going to happen until the late 20s, like 2028, something like that. But going forward, it's not easy. It's not easy for the United States because she's not out of the water, or she's not out of this mess she's in right now, with redoing the structure of the government, redoing the structure of finance, redoing the structure of political, until about 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, and not fun.
Yeah. With this.
A lot of volatility.
Yes.
People don't know where to put their money, and they don't know what to do, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So the best thing you could do is cut your losses. This is very important. Cut your losses. Don't be foolish. Don't hang on to stuff that you really need to go. And also, be wise about this. Don't overreact. It's all working in divine order. It really is.
Yeah. So would you say it's a shift that we really need to, you know, let go of our fears?
Yeah, the fear was the old teaching tool of the Piscean age, and that's no longer true. So in order to cure you of your fears, you almost have to go through them to get rid of them. It's like, what's the greatest fear? The greatest fear would be, to me, it was always losing a child. And then last year I did, and I didn't know if I could survive it. I couldn't believe it. I always felt I could never get through that. And my life is never the same, but I got through it. And people understand that this is where you face your fears and you go through them, because you have a purpose, you have a life path, you have a destiny, you have a reason to be here that's very important. And the time here, you have free will choice in how you will think about something, not necessarily do something, but think about something and learn to handle choice and emotional energy here. That's one of the reasons we come here.
Yes, to the women out there, Gail, with this shift, any words that you'd like to share with them on, you know, what that means and how they, you know, can know that they are strong and they are empowered and they can do amazing things.
Women are very strong. That's why one of the men are basically strong outside. They're softer, weaker inside. Women are strong inside, softer, weaker outside. So women, when you hear that behind every successful male is a female of some kind, whether mother, grandmother, aunt, you don't hear that about women because women are very much strong within themselves. And they have great power, but they have this strong need to be perfect or know more to do something, and that's not necessarily true. They need to take more risks. They need to step out. If there's something they need to learn to get certified, go do it. Every year you need to upgrade your skills, and you need to be able to find good women who will run for office and do representation. Because what women need to do is be more visible. If I could say anything to women, it's to become more visible. And they're not. And this is, and half the women in the world are hidden under cloaks or burkas or something. Women must become more visible. And in the United States, that means visibility by leading, by being out there where you are making decisions that affect the masses. Right now, 80% of all decisions are made by men. So the only way we're going to do this is to do a willingness on women's part to support financially other female candidates that are worthy. And also to stop picking on each other and to really support females, really support them. So this is extremely important. Visibility is a key word, and to stop trying to be perfect and to stop worrying about what other people are going to say. Most people who run for office or will step out, say even the school board office or something, they really don't worry about what other people are going to say about them. But so many women do. They don't want to go through rumors or all the stuff that they do with those who are in the public arena.
Yes, yes.
Oh. So it's who will be brave enough to go do this? And women can meet together and talk about women they know that they know they could help groom for public office or even local office, which is still public, that they know they can help groom. So it even starts in living rooms.
Yes, I love
it. Visibility is a key word. Without visibility, forget it. Mm-hmm. Just like anything else, you could have the best plan, but if it's not marketed well, forget it.
Yeah.
People write wonderful books that don't sell because nobody knows about them.
Yeah. So that is an important key. Tell us about your upcoming workshop.
Well, I have a workshop August 20th in Santa Ana, California. I don't know when this airs, but it's 2 weeks from this coming Saturday. It's 3 hours on the rising power of women. And you can go to my website, GailMinogue.com, GailMinogue. GailMinogue.com, and you can register there or find out more information. And I post every week on something. Right now, I just did the blueprints of Chelsea and Ivanka Trump.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
So if anyone wants to know about these two young millennial women, they can go to my website and read about them. I've already posted on Donald Trump, and I've posted on Hillary and Bernie Sanders. They're all there. And I post every week something that's relevant to what's going on. There's so many trends and things that are, there's something called, which people bring notices to me and make me aware of things. There's something called the death cafes. I'm like, what? And this is a trend around America where people get together and discuss, discuss death or what have you. They're called death cafes about dying and the process, and you know, all kinds of things like that.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes.
There's stuff going on.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, share with us your services. You know, for the listeners out there, I know we already discussed a little bit. A person can get their, you know, numbers
Well, they
and
can get their
all that
blueprint.
drawn out. Share everything you do, and it's just so
Okay.
fascinating. I
Well,
would think
I do a
everyone
lot of
is
private
going to want to do this.
consultation, and they can find out more about these. I do individual sessions for all different kinds of circumstances and individuals. And like I have these three baby names that I'm working on right now, and I'll be working with the mother tomorrow. And so I do the private sessions, and then I do the book Divine Design, How You Created the Life You're Living. That's available, Divine Design. And I also do from time to time different programs and workshops. I'll present around, the United States. Most of them right now are in California. I've been laying low since my son. I have pretty much not done as much outside in Chicago or Houston. That's where I also go. But if they, the main thing is find out what your blueprint is so you know what you're doing, where you're going, and to prevent dumb things. I mean, it's so there. I had this gentleman who was at a book signing years ago in San Rafael and said to me, I wish I had, he was well past 65, I wish I had learned this when I was kindergarten before I screwed up.
And
Yeah.
tell me,
So.
Gail, so finding out your blueprint, is that something that could even make you think differently about your career? I know myself, I was a restaurant owner. I never dreamed I'd be a radio host. So would finding out my blueprint give me an idea if I'm doing the
It
thing that
definitely
I'm
will
really meant
tell
to do?
you. It will tell you. It will tell you where the direction you're supposed to go and what kind of things support you in doing that or that are in your chart and why. And so many people go through huge changes and, just like you owned a restaurant, now you're radio. But you'll find a common thread. You'll see it in the name and date of birth, and it also goes over your issues. Like maybe you're correcting some karmic stuff from last time or the last several lives. What is it, and how can you help yourself, and just what to know? So it's extremely revealing, and it also gives you timing. My goodness, sometimes people are not going to bloom till very late. They're not going to bloom till they're 50. A blueprint's very long. It's at least 120 years. So people give up on themselves if they haven't, their neighbor is really prosperous and they're not. What's going on? And
Also,
it's
a
all there.
blueprint is about 120 years.
A regular blueprint's about 120 years, yes. We check out way too early. We actually operate on man-made artificial time, which says that you retire at a certain age based on your job. If you're in government, it's early. If you're in private sector, it's later. And so you have this artificial time frame that is irrelevant to the soul. The soul did not come here to retire. It came to continue to learn, to grow, and be productive and have various different experiences. So some of your most productive years are actually in your 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's powerful. But most people are too tired, worn out, sick. Before when they get to their 80s to really do anything, but these are power years. But most people think that they're going to end up retiring and then so many years and they'll be dead. But they don't really take care of things along the way that could really improve longevity. And whether it's overeating or bad habits or so now they wake up and they're all in repair work now.
Right. Oh,
But it's been taken years that they of neglect.
yeah, with
So you
just a
really
few.
want to consider working well into your 80s.
Yeah. And I love that you say that because 60s and 70s, oh my gosh, there are some amazing people out there
Yeah.
doing so much, and they didn't even get on that path until their 50s or 60s.
Yeah, well, the integration is beginning at 50 because you the soul at The soul downloads everything it learned each 7 years. So the first cycle is age 7, then 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. When you've done 70 soul cycles, you now start to integrate yourself. So that's done by the age of 50. Now you're integrated, you can begin to free yourself from your shoulds. And then you start to go and to be make these changes to be more productive. So you really can launch in your 50s and 60s. Well, what are people doing? They want to retire, which is crazy. And they're not taking good care of themselves, so they feel like they've worn out.
Yes, yes.
And so, which is really a shame. My chart, and I was told when I was 42 that my greatest work would begin at 64. I thought the woman was insane when she said that. But then I found out after living my life, like, oh, my God, she's totally correct.
Yeah. And that really is very exciting, Gail. It really is to think we are, you know, if we're not even up to our 50s and 60s, oh, my gosh, what we have ahead of us, you know, it's really exciting. It's
That's
not
right.
something to get depressed about. It's something to be excited about.
That's right. So take care of yourself.
Yes.
And there's enough out there now to teach you how to do it yourself, take care of yourself. And it's a, you know, the number five is indulgent in the five senses. So the country is a five. Remember I mentioned that, well, we're all tied to this country. So there's a part of us that's very indulgent. You know, too much food, too much sex, too much drugs, too much rock and roll, too much, you know, we go round and around.
Yes.
And so my, you can't help if you're in this country to be caught up in that as well. So,
so
it's about managing yourself, understanding your own blueprint,
yeah.
and working on your own plan.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's fascinating. We have about 2 minutes left in the show. What last words would you like to share with the listeners, Gail?
Well, I'd like people to realize mainly that they're on a journey or quest to fulfill what they originally started out with when they landed here, and to understand what they came in with, and that this is a great opportunity to grow in consciousness, and you will take only what you learned when you leave. So you don't want to be too much asleep at the switch, but really be balanced. For women, it's visibility and supporting each other and supporting each other financially. And everyone should get a session, because honestly, I didn't believe it till I had it done. And I'm like, oh, gosh. I'd wish I'd had it done like that man said, but five, or I wish my parents had known.
Yes.
You know, and if they want to sign up for my postings or newsletter, I send a newsletter out every quarter. So for free, they can go to my website, GailMinogue.com, and do that there. And then if they have, I'm also available for talks and lectures in different groups. If someone would like that, just get in touch with me. My 800 number is 800-600-0256, 800-600-0256, and that also goes to my cell, so I do get these calls.
Oh, Gail, you are an amazing woman. I am so honored to have you on the show. I really
am. My pleasure. I'm so fortunate I can do this.
Yes.
And I'm blessed. I'm very grateful that even if I didn't wake up till I'm 64, I'm glad I woke up. You know, and tempered with time, I guess is the right expression. Tempered with time, or
beautiful.
Tempered by time.
Oh, beautiful. I look forward to my session with you and continuing to learn more about what you do. And I look forward to also having you on my Voice America show as well.
You are just a
gem, Gail.
Thank you
so much.
My pleasure.
And to all the listeners out there, thank you so much. Love, hugs, and blessings. We'll chat with you next time. Goodbye, everyone.